and righteousness retribution, but a wholesome dread of displeasing him, a fear which banishes the terror that shrinks from his presence and which influences the disposition and attitude of ones whom circumstances are guided by trust in God. Did you get all that? It's kind of like if you know someone you disappoint, someone you love and someone you respect, and you fear how they will respond to you. It's that feeling of fear. There's another word, the word eubula. It signifies caution and reverence, this godly fear, holy fear, that mingled fear and love, and when you put them together, they combine and they constitute the piety of man towards God. The Old Testament places its emphasis on fear. The New Testament, its emphasis on love. And there was fear. There was love in the fear of God's saints in the Old Testament, and there are fear and love now. In the book of Psalms, chapter 76, there's a lot said in Psalms tonight about the definition of fear and how the Bible looks at it. Psalms chapter 76, if you can't read this, you can join the chapter. I know that's a little small. Verse 1, it says in Judah, this is an eye test if you can't see that. In verse 1, it says in Judah, God is known. His name is great in Israel. His tent is in Salem. His dwelling place is in Zion. And there he broke the flashing arrows, the shields and the swords, the weapons of war. And you are replenished with light, more majestic than mountains, rich with gain. Violent men lie plunder. They sleep their last sleep. Not one of the warriors can lift his hands. At your rebuke, O God of Jacob, both horse and chariot lie still. And in verse 7, he says, you alone are to be feared. Who can stand before you when you're angry? From heaven you pronounced judgment, and the land feared and was quiet. When you, O God, rose up to judge, to save the afflicted of the land, surely your wrath against men brings you praise, and the survivors of your wrath are restrained. Make vows to the Lord your God and fulfill them. Let the neighboring lands bring gifts to the one who is to be feared. And he breaks the spirits of rulers. He is feared by the kings of the earth. And if you go a little farther in the book of Psalms, in Psalms 130, verse 3, it says, if you, O Lord, if you kept a record of sins, who could stand? But with you there's forgiveness, and therefore you are to be feared. You know, when it says, fear God, surely that doesn't mean be afraid of him, right? Fear him. I mean, he is our friend, right? This description of God that we have. But the reality is he is so much more than that. So much more than our friend and our father. He is God. He is on a level all by himself. And the Bible has many names for God. One of them is the Lord God Almighty, which literally means the God of the angel armies, the creator and the sustainer of the universe. And it says his name is above every name. He's the beginning, he's the end, the eternal and everlasting life giver. God is love, but he is to be feared because of who he is. The fear we hold for God is unparalleled to any other thing because we fear him, because he's unparalleled. Fear is the first reaction people have when they come in contact with God. Anytime you read people and God coming in contact, they're terrified. They are afraid. Isaiah the prophet, in Isaiah chapter 6, he has a conversation with God and he thought he was going to die, it says in verse 5. John the apostle, he fell at the feet of Jesus like he was dead in the book of Revelation, chapter 1. Exodus chapter 20, the Israelites are receiving the Ten Commandments and they are afraid. And we're going to look at that in a minute. We can go on and on. Every time you find people, not even just with God, even the people that God sent who came from him, any of the angels of God, they were afraid. They were always afraid. But the first words out of God's mouth and the first words out of the angel's mouth were always, "Do not fear." This sounds like real fear to me. It sounds like people truly scared to death. Because when we come into the presence of God and we experience His true nature, it is an overwhelmingly frightful moment when we are exposed to who He really is. And it's more than the fear. It's who He is. The Bible looks at the word holy, and it's this weight is what the word holy also conveys. We just can't be in His presence without fear. So we have to ask this question. If we are going to be with God and around God and want to be close to God, what does it mean to fear God? Does it mean that we should go and be afraid of God? Should we be afraid of His disapproval of us? Because we can be. And we can live in that constant state. And should we live in fear over the future judgments of our sins? It's coming. And God says it's appointed for a man to die, and after that, the judgment. Deuteronomy chapter 10, I think God helps us with these answers. He starts at verse 12 and He says, "And now, O Israel, what does the Lord your God ask for you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all His ways, to love Him, to serve Him with all your heart and with all your soul, and to observe the Lord's commandments and decrees I'm giving you today for your own good." God gives us a summary of what He wants. He says that the beginning of it all is to fear the Lord. He says you can't walk in His ways, you can't love Him, serve Him, follow His commandments, if you don't first fear Him. You know, the word translated fear in many of the verses comes from this Hebrew word, the word yara. You know, it's a very large part of that red circle. Because the fear of the Lord includes this overwhelming sense of glory, of worth, and beauty of the one true God. That's how it looks at that word, yara. And it means to recognize His power and live in a respectful, humble way in the presence of the Almighty God who allows us to exist. You know, according to the Jews, this word yara had three levels. The first level was this: the fear of unpleasant consequences of punishment. That's a pretty general one that we all have. This is how we usually think of fear. That we are going to get in trouble for what we've done. And we fear being rejected socially, so we do certain things. We fear disappointing people in our lives, or disappointing them again if we've disappointed them once. And this fear of that happening helps us do what is right. And we need this kind of fear. It's a healthy fear. If you've ever got a speeding ticket, you slow down. Why? Because you don't want another one. You know, I want my girls to have a healthy fear of many things. Maybe not grasshoppers, but important things that you want your kids to fear. And you teach them this when they're young. Open fires, hot stoves, sharp knives, guns, bears, sharks, dangerous dogs, lightning. Right? They don't know the difference until you tell them you need to be afraid and cautious around these things for good reason, for your own good. For your own protection. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 18 says, "The man who fears God will avoid all extremes." Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 13 says, "Yet because the wicked do not fear God, it will not go well with them, and their days will not lengthen like a shadow." The second layer of this word to the Jews is this type of fear, that this word concerns anxiety over breaking God's law. It's not just this unpleasant consequences, but it's anxiety over the fact that you are literally breaking the law of God. This type of fear motivates people to do what's right because they are afraid God will punish them. And it's a fear that's mixed with love and a genuine desire to please and honor God to avoid God's righteous wrath for sin. It's not just that you're going to get in trouble. It's that you are disappointing someone you love. And that's a deeper level. And God doesn't just wink, as we know, of His nature. He doesn't wink at evil or injustice. And he promises us, those who practice wickedness will have genuine reason to be afraid. It's a fearful thing, he says, to fall into the hands of a living God. Hebrews chapter 10. This fear of God is of God's punishment may keep us away from sin in the short run, but it's not enough for real spiritual life. It's not enough because it's based on an incomplete view of God. It doesn't take into light the compassion of God. You may appear righteous to cover up yourself from legal liability, but inwardly you're doing the actions you're doing so that you are not punished. That's a different way to live your faith. Not a way because you want to please and you love God. You just don't want the punishment from God. And that's where this third layer comes in. The third layer of this word is a profound reverence for life that comes from seeing rightly. Yes, seeing. You know, we need to see things right. Fearing and seeing are linked and they're united. The Jews had a kind of very specific artwork that they had around them. And on it was this phrase, know before whom you stand. You know, it was to keep them constantly aware that they live in the presence of the Almighty God, always. And they saw this around often. And we should be awake. We should be mindful and attentive to the presence of the Lord always. Not only does it keep us out of sin, it keeps us humble. And it keeps us in a state that we need to live in. It enables us to walk in His ways, to love Him, serve Him, and follow His commands. And fear does that. Know before whom you stand. Psalm chapter 16, verse 8 says, I have set the Lord always before me. That's where they get this concept. Because He's at my right hand, I will not be shaken. When we look at Jesus on the cross, and we see this highest sense that we have of reverence and awe, in Psalm chapter 85, verse 10, it says, steadfast love and faithfulness meet. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. And at the cross, we see both God's fearful wrath for sin and God's awesome love for us. And we need to fear God as our judge, and we need to be in awe of the cost of our redemption. And those two things combined bring on something in us that give us a deeper understanding of God. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28, he says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. Doesn't that change things? Doesn't that put us in our rightful place? Doesn't that change the relationship between us and God? It should. There are certain people you don't do things around. Why? Because of who they are. Maybe because of the power they hold. Maybe the respect and the awe you have for that person. And you act differently and you treat them differently. And God is so far above any of those people in this world that we do that around. Yes, He's our rescuer, our deliverer, and He went through the most horrible suffering to redeem us. But He's also the God of justice that will hand out judgment for those who reject Him. He promises this in Luke chapter 12. Jesus says in verse 4, I tell you, my friends, don't be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that can do no more. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear Him who after killing the body has the power to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear Him. Jesus is saying to His followers not just to be only afraid of men, but fear God. Why does God want us to fear Him? In the book of Psalms, chapter 111, verse 10, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. In the book of Proverbs, starts this way, in verse 7, he says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. He wants us to have wisdom and knowledge, and he wants us to know him. And he says, in order to understand God, we got to start with the fear of God. We cannot skip this. Isaiah chapter 33, verse 5, he says, the Lord is exalted, for he dwells on high, and he will fill Zion with justice and righteousness. He will be the sure foundation for your times, a rich store of salvation and wisdom and knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the key to this treasure. You know, this isn't just something we muster up, some respect, some healthy fear. No, this is an overwhelming feeling of being in the presence of the Almighty God. And when you are, you cannot help it. You ever had that feeling in your bones, in your body? You've been in a place, maybe just been scared, and you know that feeling of fear. The presence of God is far more than that. Isaiah chapter 44. Despite the presence of who God is, God talks to us about himself like this. Who is like me? Speak up. Let them tell me the future. Beyond me, there's no one like me. Fear not, nor be afraid. You know, when we understand these things about God, and now that you see him, you realize there's nothing to fear about God, even though he's saying this fear will be on you. He wants you to know that he is not a person who is out to hurt you because of his power, but a person who is here to save. It leaves you satisfied in knowing his power, that there is a peace through fear. There is this same God that says the chapter before in Isaiah chapter 44, after he says, don't be afraid, do not fear. He says this, because you are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you, fear not. In Exodus chapter 20, Moses is listening to God give the Ten Commandments, and when he returns to the people, look what happens if you see verse 18. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 18, it says, when the people, when they saw the thunder and the lightning, they heard the trumpet, and they saw the mountain and smoke, they trembled with fear. They stayed at a distance, and they said to Moses, speak to us yourself, and we'll listen. But do not have God speak to us, or we will die. Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. God has come to test you so that the fear of God will be with you and keep you from sinning. The people saw a glimpse of God, just a small glimpse of his power. And all that he was doing was talking. And they thought they were going to die. And Moses explains to them why God revealed this side of himself to them. Verse 20, it says, he is testing you so that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning. You know, we can lose this fear. Paul talks about this in Romans chapter 1. People who pretend like there is no God, they've forgotten the power of God and the presence of God. They have nothing to fear, and so they do whatever they want to do. That's not what God says. In Romans chapter 2, verse 5, he says, but because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you're storing up wrath for yourself. When his righteous judgment will be revealed, God will give to each person according to what he has done. To those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and who reject the truth, follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. There will be trouble and distress for every human being who does evil, first for the Jew and then for the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who does good, first for the Jew and then for the Gentile. For God does not show favoritism. God does not make threats. God makes promises. And God keeps his promises. And fear is a powerful motivator. He doesn't just call us to him. This is an important thing to remember about God and fear. God does not call you to him because of the fear you have for him. But he calls you by his kindness, he says. He doesn't want you to come to God because you're afraid of what he will do, but because you realize the kindness of what he has done and will do for you. Romans chapter 2, verse 4, Paul says, "Or do you not show contempt for the riches of his kindness, tolerance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is meant to lead you towards repentance?" Psalms 100 and verse 10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and all who follow his precepts have good understanding. To him belongs eternal praise." Psalms 34 verse 9 says, "Fear the Lord, you saints, for those who fear him lack nothing." If you go back to Hebrews chapter 12, and I want you to go back to this scene that was given with Moses and the Israelites in Exodus chapter 20, and we have them talking about it again, the book of Hebrews. And in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 18, we find this. He says, "You have not come to a mountain that cannot be touched, and that is burning with fire, to darkness, gloom, and storm, to a trumpet blast, or to such a violent speaking, a voice speaking words, that those who heard it begged that no further words be spoken to them, because they could not bear what was commanded. If even an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned." The sight was so terrifying that Moses said, "I'm trembling with fear." But you've come to a mountain, to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. You've come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn whose names are written in heaven. You've come to God, the judge of all men, to the spirits of righteous men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. See to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. If they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less will we if we turn away from the one who warns us from heaven? Fear him. You may say, "Well, I don't even know him." If you knew him, you would fear him. You would respect him. You would honor him and you would love him. You would trust him. You would follow him. Know before whom you stand. It's not me. It's not this body. But it is always God. Without repentance, you walk out into the world saying to God that you are okay with him. Are you? You don't gain anything pretending that you are. You do gain everything by confessing that you are not. You know, we're about to stand and sing a song, and in one day we will stand for one final judgment before a fearful and holy God. Are you ready to do that? Proverbs chapter 19, verse 23, it says, "The fear of the Lord, it leads to life, and whoever has it is satisfied, untouched by trouble." I hope you don't wait any longer to follow God, to know the power that he has and live in fear of that power and the respect of that power. We're not promised tomorrow. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 says, "Now all has been heard. Here's the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man." If you need to respond tonight to the message, if you need prayers for any other reason tonight, we ask you come as we sing this song.